This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Shouldn't you be at work?
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea.
I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
I'll have a low-fat pizza or something like that, or a few biscuits and some milk on a Sunday.
And you can pair up if you like, and you can fucking pick someone else to help you, and you can bring your fucking dinner.
Oh, a magnificent goal from Darren Huckabee!
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, Hutton!
No!
Hello and welcome to Quickly Kevin. Will he score? It's Series 9. I'm Chris Gold. Joining me, as always, Josh Widdicombe.
Hello.
And never mind Martin Clunes or Neil Morrissey. Here's the original man behaving badly. It's Michael Marden.
Hello.
How are you both?
Good.
This is just a mini episode to say that we're going on a brief mid-season break, but we will be back to finish the series at the end of November in time for Christmas. You will get your 12 episodes of the series in time. But due to work commitments, we are just going to have a short mid-season break. However, I have found out why Mark Lamar was on Dean Holdsworth's tag deck.
Here we go.
So, Mark Lamar used to be with the same agent as me. So I asked them, I said, I watched a documentary about Wimbledon in the early 90s and Mark Lamar was on Dean Holdsworth's stag do. Have you got any idea why this was? And he said that Mark Lamar was doing a documentary or a piece on Vinnie Jones.
Oh.
Right.
Where he followed Vinnie Jones around. And so as part of that, a bit like when Louis Theroux ended up caught up in the Hamilton's arrest.
Yeah.
Mark Lamar ended up on Dean Holdsworth's stag do as part of a VT for the word or something like that. I don't know what it would have been. If anyone knows what Mark Lamar was following Vinnie Jones around for, then please do get in touch. What do you make of that? Is that slightly disappointing?
No, I feel like he's propelled himself into the news agenda accidentally. The Hamilton analogy is great. He found himself in a major news story, Dean Holdsworth stag do. That actually makes a lot of sense because he sat next to Vinnie Jones. He's literally man-marking him on Dean Holdsworth stag do.
Yeah, well, we were wondering why he was on the top table. I mean, there is a point where you go, it is astonishing that two separate TV shows were covering Dean Holdsworth's stag do.
What would you do if you went on a stag do and one of the stags goes, oh, is this Louis Theroux? He's just following me around for a documentary. But everyone just try and enjoy the stag. You're going to go, what? No? It's weird, isn't it? It's the same thing. It's the same.
I'm going to say, though, that, like, if you had a situation where anyone said, like, it's so not the done thing to bring a plus one to a stag do.
Unless you're handcuffed to them, as a joke. Unless it's the Wheelstone Raider, you're handcuffed
to them. Yeah, exactly. But, like, it's a mad situation, right, where Vinnie Jones has such sway in the Wimbledon dressing room that he's gone, even though it's your stag do, I'm bringing round a comedian and a film crew that are making a documentary about me.
That burger joint in Watford's never seen anything like it.
Imagine the release forms the stag do made for some.
You're just going out trying to have a drink with your mate Dean.
Next thing you know, you're taking part in two TV shows.
Yeah, that totally reinforces my view about Vinnie Jones as well. I can't think of a worse social situation to bring an unannounced plus one. Like, weddings are fine, birthdays are fine, but a plus one at a stag do. The groom would have excluded people far more important than the plus one that's coming along.
Peter Fear is sat at home going, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah. Like, I told Phil Jupitus he couldn't come.
I find it astonishing that he's getting married during the season.
Deep in winter as well, isn't it? Because it's dark. It's really dark.
Yeah.
It blows my mind when you hear stories of footballers who have to sort of miss or cancel weddings or stag do's because of something that's happening at the tail end of a football season. And you just think, there is no more concrete scheduling of your time than the football fixture season. So just don't book anything in prior to the FA Cup final.
I might be wrong on this, but as I remember, I mean, do I remember this right? But I think Pavel Nedved had to rearrange his wedding because they got to the final of the of Euro 96, the Czech Republic.
No sympathy. It's totally your own fault. Even if you weren't expecting to be there, just book it a week later.
Yeah, it is an odd decision. But is it almost tempting fate in an attempt to try and make yourself get to the final? Do you know what I mean? Like betting on Donald Trump to be president. You're trying to kind of play the odds to go, oh, well, it'll be a great problem to have. Do you know what I mean? You're going...
Yeah. It's actually the untold story of Euro 92. Seven of that Denmark team had their weddings booked for the final. That's the only reason they won.
They weren't even there, so you can only imagine... They weren't meant to be there. You can only imagine what social occasions they had already booked in.
Well, one of the Laudrups didn't go, did he, for that very reason?
Didn't he?
What? Because he was getting married or something?
I mean, that might not be true. That might be an urban legend, but I'm fairly certain he turned down the call-up.
I can't wait to return for the second half of this series of Quickly Kevin with two Do I Remember This Right sitting there, one about Pavel Nedved, the other about Michael Laudrup. We will find out in due course. We will also find out when we return. We've had a lot of correspondence about the pools panel. We'll find out more about how they work, which is a wonderful thing to dig down into. Plus, we'll have lots of great guests. We'll have a classic watch along. We're going to do another month in the 90s because that was such a success. People were fans of that. People have submitted their months for selection. So if you do want to put a month forward, which you think might be the best one of the 90s, do email us hello@quicklykevin.com.
But there is plenty more Quickly Kevin to be had. We are putting a full episode out on Peter Shilton. The Peter Shilton story, we'll be reviewing that. We know it lost to My Summer with Des, but we couldn't source My Summer with Des in time. But we have now sourced it. So that will be coming out, a review of that next month. Plus, we've got the Steve Bruce book, The Fantastic Striker, with Ivo Graham. The latest chapter will be out next week on the Patreon as well. Plenty more content to be had over on the Quickly Kevin Fan Club. If you want to sign up and get access to all that and more, go over to patreon.com/quicklykevin.
Thank you very much for listening. We're sorry that we're having this little mid-season break, but do not worry. We will come back with full strength, and also that means we'll take you all the way till Christmas. So we'll see you later next month.
But to give you a little flavour of what you can expect on the Peter Shilton story, here's a little excerpt from this week's Patreon special.
So you get talking heads throughout. So a lot of them are former footballers like Roy McFarland or like Mick Shannon, I think. Jimmy Greaves, who I'd say in a great kind of... what's it called when you make a mistake that's actually better than what you're going to say? A kind of Freudian slip. He tries to say about Peter Shilton's single-mindedness, yeah, but he just says his narrow-mindedness, which is absolutely perfect for anyone that follows him on Twitter.
I had just written narrow-mindedness, open brackets, Brexit, close brackets. Can we talk quickly about wedding footage? There's some really great wedding footage of Peter Shilton's marriage.
Yeah, it looks like a kind of Lana Del Rey video, doesn't it? It's wonderful.
But it's so of its time and so old that you're like, I can't believe that's Peter Shilton. That has to be Peter Shilton's dad, who looks a lot like Peter Shilton, because it's so iconically the sort of like 70s in terms of like the style of dress and clothing, like the sideburns, the hair. And yet he was playing for England at that stage, and 30 years later, so he has gone through the 70s, he's gone through disco, he's gone through the new romantics, punk, and he's still there in 1990, a new order. It's fucking insane.
I wish Peter Shilton's look was like, you know, like when The Simpsons goes back and Dr. Hibbert has always got like the, whatever the time, Dr. Hibbert has got the in vogue look. I wish Peter Shilton had been through all of the fashions. I'd love to have seen him as a punk, as a new romantic, like Ingot.
In a way, the Beckham sort of look and hair and style often reflected the times. Shilton as each of the sort of cultural touch points of the 70s. If anyone wants to mock those up on Photoshop, we'll put them on our social media.
Yeah, we want a hippie for when he was going to the Mexico World Cup.
A mod?
Yeah, mod. And then a punk. and then a kind of new romantic, and then a kind of Manchester. Can I ask on that, sorry, while we're on Peter Shilton's look, what would you do if you had his hair?
It's quite tight curls, isn't
it? It's such tight curls. It's a really difficult ball to play. I think it was at its worst when we first came across him, which seems to be the same length on every point of his head except the side. Like, so it's just the same length from front to back.
Well, you know, when he makes his debut, I think, was he playing for England? What is it, 1970, 1972? When he makes his debut, he's got quite long hair and like big butcher sideburns, looking like Ollie Reed in Oliver.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's got that kind of look. And actually, he looks way older in 1972 than he does in 1990.
He's not perming it, is he? Because it does seem like he's got less curl to it in the 70s.
Well, everyone was. Wasn't Kevin Keegan famously perming his hair in there?
But no, but I mean, it's more curled in the 90s. It's so tightly curled in the 90s.
Well, do you know what? I'm looking at modern pictures of Shilton. His hair's not curly anymore.
Is it not?
Finally, we get round to talking about Peter Shilton's hair and what's going on. Let me send you a picture. This is a modern... I'll send you a picture now. This is modern Peter Shilton.
Oh, yeah, it's dead straight.
And then if we look at... This is him...
You want the Italian 90 hair.
Well, I went for 1986. You can really see his curls in the sun.
Yeah.
Actually, look at this is... And another one here. This is probably 88. What's going on here? Peter Shilton has really straight hair now.
Yeah.
And is really curly in his playing days.
What about Peter Shilton England debut?
This is mad. I sent you the picture of him making his debut. Look at this guy.
So that's straight again. So I never knew this. That curly hair, is that curled?
He's curling his hair.
Is he curling his hair in the late 80s? Michael, I don't know if you can achieve that kind of curl, can you?
I don't think you can. I think he's more likely to have been straightening it. And actually, in later life, it's the curls have just dropped out. That curl with the Maradona picture and the one after, that's not a perm, I don't think. I think that's probably close to what his natural hair is.
Which is Peter Shilton's natural hair? That is one for Instagram. It's quickly, Kevin, on Instagram. We'll put that up and we let the debate begin. What is Peter Shilton's natural hair consistency?
Can I just say, my theory would be he's going to be less concerned with his appearance now than he would be in his 30s. So it's less likely that he's straightening his hair now and more likely was curling it then, surely.
I don't think he's straightening his hair now. Although, just to throw this out there, in the early 70s, that would have been when Peter Shilton was single... Right?
Yeah.
And then he's happily married in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, so he doesn't care.
So he doesn't care as much about his hair. He's letting it curl.
He's a closet curler, is that what you're saying?
He's a closet curler. Do let us know. Hello at quicklykevin.com if you have any news on what Peter Shilton did with his hair. The person that replied, please don't talk about Peter Shilton anymore. I mean, to say that we've now moved on to discussing his hair over time must be a dagger to your heart. I do apologise.
We won't be censored, mate. Don't even fucking try it.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of funny photos of Peter Shilton, there's one that crops up in this documentary that's astounding. Obviously, he's swapping his England place with that of Ray Clements in the 70s.
That's still one of the maddest things that's ever happened. A timeshare on England goalkeeper.
Timeshare, so weird. There's a picture that pops up in the documentary of the two of them leaning on each other across a road.
So that was a little sample of the Peter Shilton story, Patreon special, available now for QK fan club members. As an extra little bonus this week, we are getting to the business end of our chapter by chapter read along of Steve Bruce's seminal literary masterpiece, Striker. So here is just a little flavour of chapter 11.
One final question, and then we must break, I said. Michelle, she looked up at me, her face pretty, intelligent, and innocent. Though I knew that of those attributes, the third didn't apply. Yes, Steve, I swear, from the provocative flash of her eyes, the flickering of her eyelashes, the twist of her lips, and the tone of her voice as she uttered those two words, with the stress on my name, that she was giving me the old come on. Is that a sex thing?
So there's a pregnant young woman in his office being confronted by the father of her child, now openly flirting with middle-aged manager Steve Bruce. And this is in his mind, this is what he thinks is going on.
Well, Michael, I have witnessed it many times. Which sportsman has not?
Oh, right, I didn't realise you'd gone back to the book there. No stranger to the provocative flash of the eyes, Josh Whittacombe.
I've witnessed it many times, which sportsman has not? And it can be obvious or subtle. Michelle wasn't being as subtle as I would have expected from a woman of her background and intelligence. And especially when her boyfriend, her lover until recently, was in the same room.
Can I just say, he's got all that from Yes, Steve. I don't know. I don't know how much. I'm no actor or great flirt, but I don't know how much you can put into Hey, Steve or Yes, Steve.
When you came here, you told Julie that the murder of Pat Duffy was the father of your child, right? What the hell, Martin blurted out. Hang on, Martin, I cautioned him. Isn't that what you said, Michelle? And if I did, she said petulantly, the veneer of sophistication was dissolving. It was a serious accusation, Michelle, and it wasn't true, was it? I had to gain entry somehow, Michelle said softly. I sighed deeply, out of physical and mental weariness, as well as from frustration. It was Wednesday evening, and I'd still not discovered who had killed Pat Duffy. I stood up and stretched. What? Imagine that. What an image that is.
Do you think he's stretching like a footballer before a game, sort of like, you know, testing his hamstrings, sort of, you know, those weird running movements, or is it just a sort of like a tired arms kind
in
of
my
yawn?
In my head it's a tired arm yawn, but obviously I'd prefer it that it's kind of,
he's popped one leg, yeah, on the desk and it's sort of like leaning down, his touching his toes.
I stood up and stretched. This wasn't easy, given my bruises. I told Martin and Michelle to try and sort things out together. I insisted there be no arguments or violence. I didn't want Martin in court on an assault charge. Not at any time, and certainly not with a Fulton Gate so close. It's nice. I gestured toward the door. Martin and Michelle stood up. I thought she was going to turn out to be the murderer for a minute.
I mean, he's very quickly de-escalating and dismissing these people. Nothing has been resolved, really, here.
Why is like, she there?
Why is he kicking them out so soon?
Yeah, I'm so confused as to why she's there, because she's not there to reveal the murder. She's there to harass Martin Harrison.
And flirt with Steve, obviously.
She did flirt with Steve, yeah. Even though she's in the family way.
Yes, Steve?
I gestured toward the door. Martin and Michelle stood up. In her case, with more agility than I would have expected from a woman so far gone with child. Still, what did I know of such things? My wife had remained remarkably fit and healthy while carrying each of our two children. Pregnancy is a normal condition, not an illness.
Wow. It's not the Steve Bruce quote that I want to be throwing around in my own personal life, really, that one. Be great if Michelle, despite being in the family way, stood up and started doing stretching exercises more complex than Steve.
The door closed behind the young couple. There was no need for Julie to leave the office. Martin knows his way around the club premises. I just hoped that he and Michelle would behave responsibly. If he were to beat her up, or even strike her once or twice, I would feel guilty.
If there's any risk of that, why not make sure? Why not ask one of your many employees to at least keep an eye on them as they leave the premises?
Yeah. Well, didn't he grip her by the neck or something in the last chapter? Yeah.
I would feel guilty if that man assaulted that pregnant woman. Yeah. I've just sent outside with him. A pair of star-crossed lovers, I said to Julie. She looked surprised. That sounds clever, Steve. You have a way with words. Not me. Oh, old Bill Shakespeare.
I'd forgotten that. A real top 10 Barnes moment has just happened. Yeah. In real time.
Old Bill Shakespeare. Old Bill Shakespeare. That's... I love... Also, let's not underrate, that sounds clever, Steve. That is a phenomenal thing for someone to say. If you say something, that sounds clever, Steve. You have a way with words. Not me. Old Bill Shakespeare. Since when did you... When I was at school, I replied. Romeo and Juliet was a set text. You never cease to surprise me, she said. So when you reach home, you'll sit and read Shakespeare.
What? That's not even what he said. He said he remembers a very famous quote from school.
Julie's easily...
There's no implication that he's refreshing it.
So when you reach home, you'll sit and read Shakespeare. Tonight, it'll be EastEnders on the telly, I said, and then a good night's sleep. I locked the office door as we left. See you in the morning, Julie said. One last thing. Get a message round to all the squad. Training tomorrow.
What?
Of course it's training tomorrow. It's Wednesday. Will do, said Julie. She's a good PA, and I knew I could rely on her.
Yeah, that, as you say, it's training unless otherwise specified, surely.
Yeah. I don't understand what's happened with Julie there. She seems to have gone completely insane. Imagine the ring round at 6 p.m. Oh, God, I bet that's about... we're going to have to go training tomorrow. The fleet car was waiting round the back. I had no intention of being surrounded by press and others from the media. The driver jumped out, saluted smartly, and opened the door for me.
Saluted?
I know...
it's like Air Force One.
You guys have had chauffeur-driven cars, I'm sure, from gigs or to TV appointments. Have you ever been saluted by a driver like you're in A Few Good Men?
No.
If it happened... I'd have a word, I think, afterwards to whoever booked it. So, I don't want to be ungrateful, but we could not have the salute next time. That would be fantastic.
What would you do if as you approached and your driver saluted you?
I'd salute back, probably. Like you definitely. Everyone would. Wouldn't they?
Would they?
It'd just be a natural reaction. If someone saluted, I think you would salute back. Cause it'd be a kind of... you'd think it was his version of hello. Do you know what I mean? I think I'd salute back.
I don't know that I would.
It's very awkward when you come out at the terminal of an airport and everyone's getting met by their drivers and it's just salute city. I can't tell who's saluting at home.
The driver jumped out, saluted smartly and opened the door for me. I noticed he was wearing a peaked cap, like chauffeurs often wear. Generally, I don't like attention of this sort, whether from drivers, waiters or anyone else. But on this occasion, completely fatigued in mind and body. A bit of pampering was welcome.
Pampering? It's not a spa treatment. I think I've gone to Soho Farmhouse for the weekend. Do you know what I think I'll get? I think I'll get the couple saluting.
A hot stone salute.
Sometimes just to relax, I'll put on videos of those North Korean military marches and all saluting Kim Jong-un. Just light some candles. Yeah.
Nice charcoal face mask, foot rub. An hour loop of people saluting at me just to really treat myself.
Go, Les! Hit Les! Hit Les over the top!
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.